You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Today is Wednesday, January 10th, 2018, and I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can find me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han, and you can read my articles at ClipsNation.com as well as follow along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Clippers' decision last Friday to cut Jameel Wilson and replace him with Tyrone Wallace. Then, we'll discuss the Clippers' win on Monday night against the Atlanta Hawks. Finally, we'll take a step back and look at this quartet of games this week that the Clippers have against Northern California opponents. Their loss last Saturday to the Warriors, and their next three games, one tonight against the Warriors again, and then their next two games after that against the Sacramento Kings. We'll talk about the standings picture and how the Clippers can manage their minutes and injuries to try to stay in the playoff race during this stretch. So first, I want to talk about kind of the only real piece of roster news that we've had in a while, which is the Clippers. It was, you know, it leaked on Friday afternoon and then came out officially Saturday morning that the Clippers cut Jameel Wilson and replaced his two-way contract slot with Tyrone Wallace. Now, Jameel Wilson was playing great. He had 10 starts at the Clippers at power forward, filling in for Blake Griffin. He hit 43% from deep. He had, I think, a 15-point game and an 18-point game. All in all, he averaged 7 points a game in his 15 appearances with the team. But he was kind of in a position where the Clippers didn't have a lot of utility left for Jameel this season. He was really only playing at power forward. He's kind of limited because of the way he's limited defensively, and he fouls a lot on the perimeter when you ask him to play perimeter defense, so they didn't feel good about him playing small forward, which was evident with how Doc Rivers' rotation started shaping up once Blake Griffin came back from that knee injury. And so with Blake Griffin back, and then obviously prioritizing Sam Decker as the backup power forward over Jameel Wilson, because Decker is 4 years younger than Wilson, and the Clippers have much longer-term control over Sam Decker, Jameel just didn't have... You know, there weren't a lot of minutes in the roster for him. And while the team still would have liked to keep him around because Doc Rivers obviously really likes him as a player, he was also running out of days on his two-way contract. When the Clippers released him, they'd used, I think, 43 or maybe 42 of the 45 days on his two-way contract that he was allowed to spend with the team. So even in the case that there was another injury, which of course Blake Griffin ended up getting a concussion on Saturday, there really would have only been a couple of days of utility left in that Jameel Wilson deal. So, yeah, the Clippers could have had Jameel Wilson on Saturday against the Warriors to fill in for Blake Griffin if they didn't cut him, and they or to come in when Blake Griffin got injured. And they could have had him on Monday with Blake Griffin out, and again, maybe this Wednesday with Blake Griffin out against the Warriors. But ultimately, he wouldn't have been able to be a long-term option if something does happen to Blake or Sam Decker where the Clippers find themselves needing a power forward, because the Clippers were out of days on that two-way contract. And while two-way contracts do come with an option for the team to convert the player to a rest of season minimum salary deal, because of where the Clippers are with the luxury tax, they're not in a position to do that right now. If they had the money, I feel like they probably would have converted Jameel or maybe converted CJ Williams and then used the open two-way roster slot to sign Tyrone Wallace. But because they don't have the money for an NBA free agent, they have to use that two-way deal, which doesn't affect their salary cap picture, they decided to release Jameel Wilson. It was a really, really difficult decision, and I'm not sure that they would have done it just because Jameel was running out of days and because he wasn't going to get very many minutes, because they would have had the option to just send Jameel back down to the D-League, and then, depending on how things go at the trade deadline, try to eventually bring him up. If not, he would have come back next season in the same two-way player capacity. But the Clippers were kind of forced into cutting Jameel Wilson because of guard injuries. They lost Austin Rivers just before New Year's in late December to that jammed Achilles sprain, heel bruise, whatever they're calling it. Austin's going to be out about another week with that at least, and then they'll take a look and, you know, hopefully establish a timeline to get him back in the lineup sometime soon. And then Milos Teodosic aggravated that plantar fascia injury that has kept him out for most of the season this year. He hurt that a week ago, last Wednesday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He missed, Thursday against the Oklahoma City Thunder. He missed Saturday's game against the Warriors. He missed Monday's game against the Hawks. I don't think that he's going to play tonight against the Golden State Warriors again as well. And the Clippers just really needed guard help with only basically Juwan Evans and Lou Williams available as ball handlers. And Doc Rivers saying that he wanted to try to keep Lou Williams off of the ball so that Lou could focus on scoring. They needed guard help. And because of their luxury tax situation, as I said, with free agency and 10-day contracts not really being an option because of the luxury tax ramifications, the Clippers turned to Tyrone Wallace. And Tyrone Wallace, by the way, is probably the best option that you could have in terms of finding a replacement guard to come in from the NBA G League. Playing with Agua Caliente this year, Tyrone Wallace is averaging 23 points, 6 rebounds, 5.5 assists, 1.5 steals, and a block. The only thing he doesn't really do is shoot the ball well from deep. He's a 29% three-point shooter on the season, 26% in his G League career. But 6'5", he's a big athletic point guard. He gets to the rim. He's had a couple big highlight dunks this year. And he's a guy who basically is an NBA-level player. I'm not sure that he's a high-level rotation player in the NBA just because that shot isn't totally there. But I think at only 23 years old, maybe even if the shot doesn't come along, as the rest of his game develops, he gets a little better finishing around the rim, he gets a little more consistent defensively, I think he could be a rotation NBA player even without the shot because he's so skilled and gifted going to the basket. He has such a good feel for the game. And we've seen that on display in his two games so far with the Clippers. He's gotten plenty of playing time. He's averaging 26 minutes a game. A lot of them came in that first game against the Golden State Warriors where there was a lot of garbage time. He isn't finishing great at the rim at 37%, but he's getting production for a Clippers team that, with Blake Griffin and Austin Rivers out, in addition to all the injuries they already had, they need offensive production. He's averaging 12 points a game, and he's blocked a couple shots. He's gotten some steals. He's gotten some assists. He's running out on the break. And so he's just given the Clippers another dynamic player who can make a play, who can get his own shot, who can get to the rim, which is something that they kind of really desperately need with how shorthanded they are right now. So it hurts to lose Jameel Wilson, and unfortunately for the Clippers, but fortunately for Jameel, he's already reached a deal with the Los Angeles Lakers on a 10-day contract, so he will keep getting opportunities in the NBA. But it is kind of impressive that the Clippers have found such good two-way contract players who are so ready to contribute. Obviously, Jameel filled in as a starter. Now Tyrone Wallace has been really solid as a rotation player in the first couple of games. And we'll talk about how great CJ Williams has been a little bit later in the show. But I just think that it really sucks to lose Jameel, and hopefully the Clippers can find a way to get him back in their system at some point. But this was something that they just needed to do right now with the guard depth. And Tyrone, to his credit, has really shown out in the opportunities that he's gotten in his first couple days with the Clippers. Next, we're going to look at the Clippers' super impressive shorthanded win over the Atlanta Hawks that Tyrone Wallace was, of course, a part of. But first, I want to point you guys to last week's episode of ClipCast. I sat in on the whole episode with my good friends Chris Wilde and Mike Jaglin, and we chatted clips the entire time. I encourage you to go check it out. Right now, it's on the front page of my website, clipsnation.com, but you can also find it at clippers.com, where you can find all the episodes of ClipCast all the time. So if, clippers.com is where you can normally find the ClipCast podcast. Now, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try my new favorite app, Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. On Draft, you play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just one night, and there's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. There's no trades, there's no waiver wire, and Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now, and the best part is that you play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. No salary caps. You play in a real-life snake draft just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. So come and join me on Draft today. You can download the app anytime just by searching Draft in your app store, and you can join a game within minutes. Or you can play right from your computer on Draft.com, whichever you prefer. But for a limited time only, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use my promo code LO Clippers. That's right, you can play a real money game for free just by using my promo code LO Clippers when you make your first deposit in Draft. So we're going to talk about the Clippers' upcoming schedule, but first I want to go over Monday night's win over the Atlanta Hawks. So this was a really impressive game to me. Atlanta's probably the worst team in the NBA. I don't think that's much of a stretch to say, but the Clippers are just so depleted in this game. Not only are they missing, of course, Patrick Beverley and Danilo Gallinari, who they've missed pretty much the whole season, but they also go into this game missing Milos Teodosic, who's been back for a little bit, Blake Griffin, who's been back for a little bit, and even when the Clippers were at their most shorthanded, even during that stretch in December when it felt like they had nobody and they had four starters out, they had DeAndre Jordan anchoring the defense, and then Lou Williams and Austin Rivers kind of taking turns being the engine of the offense. And now without Austin Rivers, the Clippers are left in a position where when Lou Williams isn't doing it, really nobody is. But maybe even something that affects them a little bit more, with Austin out and now with Jameel Wilson off the roster, there just aren't a lot of shooters on this team. I mean, Patrick Beverley, Danilo Gallinari, Austin Rivers, Milos Teodosic, Blake Griffin, those are five three-point shooters in the Clippers rotation that aren't available. And what we see is when the Clippers go to their third string, when they bring in guys like Jawan Evans, Sindarius Thornwell, Sam Decker, Tyrone Wallace, and you know when Montrezl Harrell has to play some minutes at power forward, these guys aren't good three-point shooters. Wesley Johnson is, you know, a little below average. CJ Williams might be an average shooter, but kind of the only guy on the floor for the Clippers who's actually a good three-point shooter in this game against the Hawks, in this game against the Hawks, was Lou Williams. And Austin Rivers, of course, is another very good three-point shooter when he's out there. And so for much of December, the Clippers had those two guys. They just didn't have that in this game. But they were able to come out on top. I thought it was a super, super impressive performance. Even though the Hawks are bad and it would have been considered like a quote-unquote bad loss to lose this game because of the situation that the Clippers are in the standings, trying to fight for a playoff spot, I think it was really impressive that they were able to fight and pull this game out, especially in the second half when things started to not go their way, when Atlanta took a lead in the final minutes and the Clippers were actually able to come back a little bit at the end. And it all culminated, of course, with that CJ Williams game-winning three-point shot. Really, really kind of, I mean, I think it's unprecedented for a guy on a two-way contract to come up and hit a game winner. It kind of reminds me of a few years back, Sundiata Gaines for the Utah Jazz hit a big game-winning three, and Utah kind of, Sundiata Gaines was on a 10-day contract at the time, and Utah kind of had to give him a rest-of-season deal because when you come up from the G League, or the D League at the time, when you come up from the D League, and you're kind of this nobody playing against the stars of the NBA, and then you step into a moment and with full confidence hit a game-winning three, you become a fan favorite. And I think CJ Williams was already being appreciated by Clippers fans, but in that moment, you know, really kind of made a name for himself. In this game, he was fantastic overall. 15 points on a super efficient 5 of 7 shooting, 3 of 4 from deep, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 2 blocks, everywhere, all night. Most importantly, where he needed to be on the left wing with 9 seconds left to take that rhythm dribble, hit that game-winning three. The problem is that, you know, kind of in a similar situation, the Utah Jazz had Sundiata Gaines on a 10-day contract, and they kind of had to give him a rest-of-season deal after he hit that game-winning shot. The Clippers really can't not give CJ Williams a rest-of-season deal. I was thinking about it, you know, just thinking about what the Clippers' playoff rotation would look like if they do make it out. And obviously you've got, if everyone gets healthy except Patrick Beverley, who we're assuming isn't returning this year, then Austin, Milos, Danilo, Blake, and DeAndre are the starters. Lou Williams is obviously a huge piece of your rotation off the bench. Montrezl Harrell is probably your primary backup big man. And I think that, you know, CJ Williams is maybe the seventh or eighth guy in the picture there, you know, just either just ahead or just behind of Montrez playing at shooting guard and small forward. It's hard for me to picture this team going forward without him because of how huge he's been. And he's another guy who's running out of days. He used, I think, his 40th day or his 41st day on his two-way contract in this game where he hit the game winner. And the Clippers are going to reach decision time, and it's going to come to the same thing that it did with Jameel Williams, where the luxury tax could be severely costly long-term if you keep CJ potentially going to the luxury tax this year, vaults you into the repeater tax, which, depending on how much over the tax you are in the next, you know, 3 to 5 seasons, could cost you like $50 million for half a season of CJ Williams. But at the same time, how do you not keep him with how he's doing and then worry about, you know, what will come, basically, or try to move salary? Like, maybe CJ proves his importance to a certain level that you're willing to give up a little bit more to dump Bryce Johnson's salary so that you have room to keep CJ Williams. But I just have a hard time seeing them move on from him. I think right now, if the Clippers get everyone but Beverly back and make the playoffs, he's the 7th guy in my playoff rotation. I have a hard time picturing the Clippers going forward without that guy. Even Jameel Wilson, when he was playing at his best, I was thinking was maybe a backup, you know, maybe could fight with Sam Decker and Wesley Johnson for backup power forward minutes. But CJ, right now, I think you could have like a 5-man rotation at point guard, shooting guard, small forward with Tate, Osic, Rivers, Williams playing the guards, and then Gallinari playing small forward, and then CJ Williams playing backup small forward and some backup shooting guard. And I think that would, you know, that's a pretty solid unit. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Clippers kind of have to keep him. And maybe that means stretching his days for as long as they can, but I just don't see how you move on from a guy like that with how he's played recently. To close out the episode, we're going to take a look at the Clippers' upcoming schedule. But first, I want to point you towards all of the partner podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network that are covering the teams that we're talking about in this very episode. Locked On Hawks, Locked On Warriors, and Locked On Kings are the podcasts you should be checking out for the local takes on these teams as they take on the Clippers this week. So, I didn't want, you know, a lot of times I give a whole segment when the Clippers have a game. It kind of is a game recap. But I think the Clippers' loss on Saturday to the Warriors probably isn't needing its whole own segment. It just didn't seem like that crucial of a game to me. It felt like kind of a foregone conclusion. I will say, I was covering the game in person. I was credentialed for that game. It was my first time ever seeing Steph Curry in person. I'd seen Kevin Durant in person when he played for the Thunder, although Kevin Durant didn't play in this Saturday game against the Clippers. I had seen Klay Thompson in person when he was in college in the Pac-10 tournament, actually. But I'd never seen Steph Curry in person before. And, you know, to that extent, he did not disappoint. He gave kind of a vintage Steph Curry performance in just 30 minutes, 45 points, 11 of 21 from the field, 8 of 16 from deep, pulling up from everywhere, impossible to guard. The dude is phenomenal. I don't think he's the best player in the NBA. I think LeBron is still the best player, but I think Steph is probably the most unguardable. I think you can get a really, really good defender who can make LeBron's life really difficult. And LeBron is good enough to still have a good game, but you're making things difficult on him. I think Steph, it just always feels so effortless. It just feels like you could try as hard as you want to guard Steph, and you're just not going to make any impact on what he does. LeBron, it's like you can make him work, but he's going to come out on top. It's hard to even make Steph work in a certain way. You know, sometimes he misses, that's it. But he's just phenomenal. It's phenomenal to see in person. It's phenomenal really to watch on TV as well. But, you know, this was a game where the Clippers didn't have really much hope of winning. Once we found out that Austin Rivers and Milos Teodosic were both going to be out, even really any chance of like catching the Warriors by surprise with a shorthanded team was kind of out the window, because you don't even have Rivers and Teodosic. You don't have two of your main guards, even with Patrick Beverley out and with Danilo Gallinari out as one of your main scorers. And so the Clippers roll into this game with not much hope, but basically my perspective coming into this game was, you know, do your best. Maybe you keep it close, and as long as it's close, you keep playing. But once the game starts to get out of hand, rest your guys and live to fight another day. And unfortunately, you know, Doc Rivers followed that to an extent. The game got out of hand. DeAndre Jordan only played 25 minutes. CJ Williams only played 22 minutes. Lou Williams only played 24 minutes. But unfortunately, before the Clippers got to the point where they could say, we're just going to live to fight another day, Blake Griffin went down in the first quarter. He caught a really nasty elbow to the temple from JaVale McGee. He got a really bad concussion. His hand was like spasming while he was on the floor. It was really, really a scary, scary moment. And, you know, aside from being scary for Blake's health, which of course we could, you know, talk a lot about how it was a scary moment for Blake's health, it set the team back in terms of not even really being able to be competitive until a little bit of a garbage time comeback, but also missing Blake, you know, for who knows how long. He didn't play on Monday against the Hawks. He's not going to play, I assume, in the rematch against the Warriors on Wednesday. I'm skeptical even about the Clippers game Thursday against the Sacramento Kings. Hopefully he can come back for that Saturday game. But, you know, that's maybe a good spot to transition into talking about those three games. Tonight's game against the Golden State Warriors, tomorrow's game against the Kings, and then Saturday's game again against the Kings. The Clippers don't need to win all three of these games, which is good because they're not going to win all three of these games. But I think what they do need to manage to do is win two of them. And this is kind of how I felt coming into this stretch. After the Clippers had that easy stretch that we talked about where they had Sacramento, you know, the Lakers, Charlotte, Memphis, a lot of easy wins that they needed to pile on to get back close to 500, and they were able to do that. Then they hit this tough patch. Oklahoma City, Golden State, Atlanta, Golden State, Sacramento, Sacramento. And my vision for this patch was kind of that you need to go 3-3. That means losing to Oklahoma City and both times to Golden State, and beating Atlanta and both times versus Sacramento. Now, obviously, I didn't envision going into the stretch that A, Austin Rivers wouldn't play the whole time, B, Milos Teodosic would get hurt again, and C, Blake Griffin would get hurt again. But the Clippers so far, fortunately, the good news is that they're on pace. They lost two games they were supposed to lose. They won the game that they needed to win, even though it was maybe a little more stressful than it would have been if they had stayed healthy. And now they go into this game against the Warriors. This is a game that they should lose. It's a game that I don't think is winnable, although, you know, I would love to be wrong. I would love to be surprised. But I think what you need to do is kind of similar to what you did on Saturday against the Warriors, which is, as long as the game is competitive, play a reasonable rotation. But once it gets out of hand, and it will get out of hand at some point, rest DeAndre and rest Lou Williams. Those are the two most important guys to keep their minutes down, just in terms of surviving and getting yourself to Thursday's game against the Sacramento Kings. Because even though there's not much travel going from Oakland to Sacramento, it's still the second night of a back-to-back. Sacramento is a young team. They play a deep and well-balanced rotation. Even though the talent isn't there, the energy level can be there because they play so many guys for not a ton of minutes. So I think that's a game that you don't want to go into fatigued, having Lou Williams, you know, have played 40 minutes the night before. If you're in a position in the fourth quarter against Golden State where the game looks winnable, then you play your guys. But don't, you know, if you're down 12 with 10 minutes left, I wouldn't try to make that last push. I would let that game go. I don't think it's a game that you're very likely to win. And, you know, part of the problem with keeping guys' minutes down is that the Clippers just don't have a lot of options. I think with DeAndre Jordan, it's relatively easy because you have Montrezl Harrell, and, you know, even with Montrezl Harrell, maybe if you're not playing well or whatever, you can go to Willie Reed at center. Willie Reed is another one of the healthy guys that the Clippers have who just, unfortunately, because of the position he plays, he hasn't been able to get a lot of minutes while the Clippers are kind of in desperate need of players at every other position. With Lou Williams, it's a little bit tougher because the Clippers don't have a ton of other guard options, and I mean that's really it. They don't have other guard options. They don't have other offensive creators. So if you sit him out, the team's really, really going to suffer. But I think maybe you say that you're going to play Sindarius Thornwell a lot more than you have been, even though he's been playing poorly. You're going to let Tyrone Wallace and Juwan Evans have a little more rope offensively, even though you know that's going to come with inefficiency and mistakes. You let yourself lose that game. That way you keep Lou and DeAndre rested going into Sacramento on Thursday. Those are two wins that you need. In Sacramento on Thursday, at home against the Kings on Saturday. When you win those two games, you put yourself in a position where now you're 20-22 going into next week, going into these matchups that we've talked so much about that the Clippers have at the end of the month against a lot of these teams that they're competing with in the Western Conference playoff race. In the last couple weeks of January, they have games against Denver, Utah, Minnesota, New Orleans, Portland, all these teams that are really close to them in the standings. And later on this week, we'll take a closer look at those teams' upcoming schedules to kind of figure out where they're going to be going into next week, just like we're trying to figure out where the Clippers will be going into next week. But a couple of those teams have been sliding, Oklahoma City and Denver. So where we sit right now, Portland is at 18 losses. Oklahoma City, Denver, and New Orleans are all at 19 losses. And all four of those teams are in action tonight. So the Clippers are more than likely going to pick up their 22nd loss tonight against the Golden State Warriors. But Portland has a chance to pick up their 19th, visiting Houston, which is a game that, you know, Houston is favored in. And then Oklahoma City, Denver, and New Orleans all have a chance to pick up their 20th. Now, New Orleans has a favorable matchup against Memphis. Denver has a favorable matchup against Atlanta. Oklahoma City on the road in Minnesota, that's going to probably a really good game, actually, between two pretty solid middle-of-the-pack Western Conference playoff teams. But chances for teams ahead of the Clippers, any night that a team is in action, is a chance for them to pick up a loss and drop closer to where the Clippers are in the standings. So yeah, the Clippers are going to get a loss, but if they can take care of business against the Kings, it's a big stretch of days for the other teams to pick up losses, and they can put themselves in a good position going into those head-to-head matchups. That's all that we've been eyeing for weeks now, is those head-to-head matchups. The Clippers have almost gotten there. They just need to stay alive by taking care of business in these next couple games. A couple things that I want to mention before we go to end this show. First of all, CJ Williams, as I mentioned earlier, coming up on the end of the 45 days of his two-way contract, I would consider not bringing him up for this game against the Warriors. Like I said, I don't think it's a winnable game, and I think that if you're only going to have four or five more days of CJ, you know, even if you plan on keeping him for the rest of the season, it just becomes, it's easier to manage money-wise the longer you can stretch these 45 days, the longer you can push that decision. It gives you more leverage in trade talks, etc., etc. So I would consider not bringing up him up for this game. It's a really difficult call to make because of how shorthanded the Clippers are. You know, basically it would mean a lot more minutes for Sindarius Thornwell, mean a lot more minutes for Wesley Johnson at small forward, maybe even some Sindarius Thornwell have to play some small forward as well, some shooting guard. Sam Decker might have to play some small forward and play a lot more at power forward. Montrezl Harrell would have to help out at power forward. You know, you really spread yourself thin when you take a roster that only has 11 guys, and one of those 11 guys is Bryce Johnson, who really isn't a factor for Doc Rivers. And three of those 11 guys are centers, who all play the same position. But I think you can make it work for one night, and you play the young guys a lot of minutes, and you lose the game, and they all get some run, and you save a day on CJ Williams. I'm not sure what I would do if I was in charge, if I was making the decision. If I was making the decision, I would have thought about it a lot more over the last few days than I have in my real situation, where, you know, what my opinion is doesn't really matter. But I think it's something worth thinking about. I'm curious what you guys think about that as well, because it does take him out of his rhythm and all of that, and it kind of shows that you're forfeiting the Warriors game in a way, which isn't necessarily the message you want to send, but it's also kind of the smart business thing to do, is to save that day of CJ Williams. The other two things to keep your eye on are the returns of Milos Teodosic and Blake Griffin. Teodosic is listed as questionable for this game against the Warriors. I am almost certain that he will not play tonight against the Warriors. He hasn't played in a back-to-back all season long. They've been holding him out of back-to-backs for injury management because he hurt that foot earlier in the season. His minutes have been restricted. And because the Clippers are on a back-to-back now, and the first night is Golden State and the second night is Sacramento, I think they would much rather have him for the Sacramento game. We saw them do this in December. They held him out versus Houston and then played him versus Memphis. Obviously, that didn't go as planned with them beating Houston and then losing to Memphis, but I think Doc Rivers will follow the same logic here. Accept the loss against a really, really good team. Try to secure the loss against the weaker team. Blake Griffin told ESPN on Tuesday that he has passed some of the concussion protocol tests, but is not fully back and will not play versus the Warriors. That could indicate that he's very close and could return on Thursday against the Kings, but I wouldn't count on it. I think Saturday in the second game against the Kings is much more likely. Even then, I wouldn't be surprised if he's held out a little bit longer, but I think maybe a reasonable, optimistic scenario is to hope for Milos to play Thursday against the Kings and then Blake to return Saturday against the Kings. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, but obviously we will get more information on that as it comes, as well as hopefully pretty soon getting updates on the injury return status for Danilo Gallinari and Austin Rivers, both of whom should be back at some point in the next couple of weeks, but obviously we will get more firm timelines on that from the Clippers as they are evaluated. That is going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm your host, Lucas Han. You can find me on Twitter at Lucas J. Han. You can email me, lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. Make sure you read my blog at clipsnation.com, as well as following along on Twitter there at clipsnationsbn. Thanks for listening, guys. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.